Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And we're live here on the Incline Dodgers podcast, presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. Kevin Kline flying solo this evening. I am recording and streaming live in Brussels, Belgium. I've been in Europe for about a week now, and I must say, it is really hard to keep up with the Los Angeles Dodgers consistently when you're 9 hours ahead of Los Angeles. But I've been able to catch some games, and the Dodgers are currently 36-22, 6.5 games up on both the San Francisco Giants and the San Diego Padres in the NL West. The Dodgers were in a little bit of a funk. They had lost 5 games in a row, including being swept by one of the lesser teams in the National League in the Cincinnati Reds. But they seem to get themselves together thanks to a late rally in the first half of a doubleheader against the New York Mets. They ended up winning both games in one day, and then they capped it off with a massive 10-3 victory, I believe, in the finale to sweep the New York Mets on the road. And now they are currently on a 3-game winning streak. What's up, Showtime LA? We're going to talk about him later. Don't worry. I've got plenty of topics to keep everyone entertained. Like I said, it's 11:30 local time for me, probably 2:30 Pacific. It's tough, but here we are. I'm probably going to miss the game because I think it starts at 4 a.m. local time in Belgium. Started off in Paris. Now I'm in Brussels. Then I'm off to Amsterdam. Now I understand why not too many people follow baseball out here. It's pretty tough. But the Los Angeles Dodgers have a good record, 36-22, so they're in first place. I mean, I don't think the division is really that much of a concern, but you never know. The last game against the New York Mets was certainly interesting. The Dodgers were in a 3-3 tie. I mean, first off, James Paxton threw 3 innings. I guess it was scheduled he'd go 50 pitches or so. I didn't really like the strategy. Why not just push the start back to today? Let him go on full rest versus the 3 innings. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And then it just got worse with Elizer Hernandez, who's probably been the worst pitcher for the Dodgers all season long. He gave up 3 runs. He didn't even get an out. I think he's getting DFA'd any day now. I think the moment Evan Phillips is activated, you'll see the Dodgers announce that Elizer Hernandez has been designated for assignment because he's god awful. He gave up 3 runs, no outs. I think his ERA is, what, 8? It's in the 8s. It hasn't been good. So, sayonara, Hernandez, you've been awful. But the Dodgers erupted for 6 runs in the 8th inning. Will Smith had a great series against the New York Mets, had 2 home runs in the series finale, had a home run the day before. He's got 9 home runs now on the season, and he's starting to heat up again. 296 batting average, I believe, 360 on base. Very good numbers for Will Smith. Probably the best season he's having up to this point in his Los Angeles Dodgers career. Shohei Ohtani went yard. He was in a little bit of a slump. and he finally connected after kind of a bit of a drought. He's got 14 home runs now on the season. I also apologize for my audio if my internet cuts out. I don't have my equipment with me, and hopefully Belgium internet runs seamlessly. Shout out to anyone in the chat. Feel free to drop questions. This is meant to be interactive, so if there's a Q&A thing going on, definitely on board with that. Some other takeaways in this game, though. Mookie Betts started at second base. It had been a few weeks, and from what I remember, they seemed pretty adamant that Mookie Betts was going to only start at shortstop for the foreseeable future, as he was going to work himself into being their everyday shortstop and a reliable force at the position. And honestly, it hasn't gone all too well for Mookie Betts. He's got a number of errors, outs above average, -4, I believe. He has a really weak arm. I don't know if that's more attributed to just the different arm slot he's used to throwing from right field, or he just can't handle the position at short. I don't know. But regardless, they moved him over to second base, and that set it up nicely for Miguel Rojas, who I believe had a really good day at the plate, 4 hits, raised his batting average up to a .284 batting average, 2 home runs, 9 RBIs. And Rojas, honestly, he's been getting it done. He hit over .300 in the month of May. And defensively, you know, he is just super reliable out there. One of the premier defenders at the shortstop position. I think, all things considered, moving forward, here we are, May 31st, over 2 months now into the major league season. Until we get to the trade deadline where maybe the Dodgers can acquire someone outside of the organization, more on that later on in the episode, it would be foolish for the Dodgers to not commit to Miguel Rojas as the everyday shortstop. What's going on, Justin Yamas? I am enjoying the beer and chocolate. We can go a little deeper dive into that. What's up, Alicia Jones? Yeah, Miggy Rowe is an artist at the shortstop position. And we know he gets it done defensively, but he's also getting it done with the bat. He's been better than Gavin Lux all season. 147 at-bats for Gavin Lux. He's only hitting .204. He has one measly home run, 12 RBIs, a .538 OPS, WRC plus in the 50s. I mean, he's basically on par with Austin Barnes in terms of WRC plus. We've seen enough from Gavin Lux. Ken Rosenthal said they would reevaluate him at 150 at-bats. And there's been a few key hits for Gavin Lux, but we're getting a full sample size here, and he sucks. Like, he's not a good baseball player. Defensively, he doesn't bring enough at second base to warrant himself in the lineup if this is what his bat's going to be. Defensively, the Dodgers are much stronger if Mookie Betts plays the second base position and Miguel Rojas plays the shortstop position. Because all in all, you know, Mookie's an A-plus defender at second base. The stats already indicate it. He's a negative defender at shortstop. So what are we doing here? Miguel Rojas can get it done pretty much all around the diamond, but he's their best defender at the shortstop position. And if he's going to continue to swing the bat very well, then they need to put him in the lineup. He offers the leadership attributes as well, while Gavin Lux is more of just a clubhouse fun guy. So I don't know what the Dodgers need to even consider here. Like, it's time to move on from Lux. You can send him down to the minors. You can put him to the bench. But Miguel Rojas needs to be the shortstop for the Dodgers. I'm tired of these resets for Mookie Betts, where it's either a mental reset because he had an error or he made a little blunder at the shortstop position. The bat overall looks like it's good, but at the same time, I am worried regression will come Mookie's way. He did cool off in the month of May somewhat. He's got 8 home runs on the season versus a year ago to this point. He had 15 home runs. So I don't really think the power is there as well for what it once was for Mookie Betts. He's definitely not going to hit nearly 40 home runs this year. A lot of people think he's the Dodgers MVP, and I get it. He's playing a position that he's not comfortable at, but I still think right now it's neck and neck between Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts for the National League MVP. But other players are starting to catch up. Bryce Harper's having a really good season. Luis Arraez, all the sudden for the San Diego Padres, is swinging the bat well and is fighting for another NL batting title. And ever since he came to the Padres lineup, they're getting a big boost as well. And now you've got beat writers already prematurely talking about Luis Arraez as a future Hall of Famer, which I think let's slow your roll there. Like he's a good player, but Arraez in the Hall of Fame, cool your jets, people. He's not a Hall of Famer. Maybe one day, not right now. Good baseball player. Love the move for the Padres, but he's not a Hall of Famer. That's just crazy talk. But anyways, to get back on topic, yeah. So it's not a runaway like it was a few weeks ago with Otani and Betts and everyone else. The Philadelphia Phillies are a really strong team, and Bryce Harper's having a good season. And as Dodger fans trying to chase the NL pennant, we've been kind of waiting for that NLCS rematch of 08-09, and that might be the year where the Dodgers and Phillies finally meet up once again in an NLCS. And we need some revenge because those were some painful series losses. What's up, Daniel Berry Sports Highlight? Happy Friday. What's up, Maria G? Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, share this episode so other people can join and comment along in the chat. But yeah, so Elizer Hernandez probably getting DFA'd if I had to call my shot. The 8.38 ERA, not good enough. Not a fan of Paxton going three innings. But there's some good news coming for the Dodgers, and that's involving Bobby Miller. I believe he's got one more rehab start he's going to make, and then he should be activated off the IL and be in the Dodgers rotation. And personally, if I am the Dodgers, I think I'm running with a six-man rotation. A couple reasons why. It already seems like the Dodgers are flirting with a six-man rotation nonetheless. They're squeezing in guys like bullpen games or the crappy Elizer Hernandez's or Landon Knack to make spot starts, and they want to give Yamamoto the extra rest regardless. So why not go with a six-man rotation? If healthy, we're looking at Tyler Glasnow, Yamamoto, Bobby Miller when he comes back. You can throw Walker Buehler in there, Gavin Stone, and James Paxton. And like Justin's pointing out, it's going to be a six-man rotation regardless next season when Otani is presumed to be healthy and back in the Dodgers rotation, and Yamamoto will probably still need to be on 5 to 6 days rest minimum. So that's two guys right there that will need the extra rest. So you might as well get comfortable and acclimated with it. And there's no reason for the Dodgers to send down Gavin Stone. Let me pull up the question that we got submitted from one of our great listeners on the X machine, formerly known as Twitter, from Moose, aka at Pusher 1032. When Miller comes back, will Stone be demoted, or will they finally go a six-man rotation? What's up, Dodgers 2080? So anyways, Gavin Stone is going nowhere. If the Dodgers want to be creative and limit his innings, because like any pitcher these days, most of them don't pitch 200 innings, I'm good with that. You want to give him a couple weeks off midseason, that's fine. Let Gavin Stone stay fresh, because right now, the way he's pitching, he's for sure a number three or a number four for the Dodgers. I'm not going to get my hopes up, though, because they burned us last season when Ryan Pepiot didn't even pitch in the NLDS, and he was clearly their number two or number three at that point. So the same thing could happen with Gavin Stone because he lacks the experience. They might not trust him in the postseason. But the way Gavin Stone is pitching right now, he is without a doubt probably the number three, or you could argue the number four starter in the Dodgers rotation. Gavin Stone's 5-2 with a 3.16 ERA. In the month of May, he has a 1.97 ERA. So yeah, you toss out a couple bad April starts when he was just kind of getting his feet wet. He's been on fire and he's pretty consistent. He's going 6-7 just about every time out now. Of course, the one game I attended, I think it was in April, in late April, struggled with his command against the Mets. But then ever since then, Gavin Stone has just been on fire. He's got 57 innings thrown under his belt now. And the 3.16 ERA, that's really good, guys. So to just get rid of Gavin Stone out of the rotation when he's been super valuable as a starter, eating the innings, but high-quality innings, the Dodgers know better. They're not going to just toss him down and go back to Oklahoma City. I would be shocked. I think the Dodgers keep him up and find a way. Six-man rotation, put him in the bullpen as a piggyback guy. I'm not quite sure, but Galveston needs to stay on this major league roster. I called my shot and said he would have a breakout season. And so far, it looks very true up until this point. You can just see the confidence. He throws a really nice fastball, deadly changeup. Starting to get more command of the slider. I think he mixes in another variation of the fastball as well. So he's becoming a good four-pitch pitcher. Galveston, it's got to be here to stay. It's going to be exciting as we get closer into the October race to see if Galveston can hold up and if we're arguing for him to start in the playoffs. I don't think he's going anywhere either in terms of trades. I think at this point he's established himself well enough to basically have he's nearly untradeable. Maybe if you get a superstar like Luis Robert, then sure, I guess I can see the argument. Or Randy Arozarena, I suppose, if that's the guy they want to do 1v1. But other than that, I'm not trading Galveston for a Bo Bichette. I'm not trading Galveston for a Tanner Scott. I'm not trading Galveston for a Tyler O'Neill. I'm not trading Galveston for Tommy Pham, that's for sure. But we'll talk more about the trade rumors in a bit. But of course, appreciate everyone here. So if you got questions, we can always answer your questions as well. So drop them below in the chat. Hit that subscribe button. I know I do have a couple questions coming from Instagram as well. Let me see if I have anything that's of good substance right now that would make a good flow. Let's see. These are just trade questions, so I'll get to them later. Aaron Vaughn, Burns is out for the season. What Burns? I don't think I've heard anything about any Burns being out for the season. Maybe you can elaborate. Harley Anderson, I agree with you about shortstop. Mookie needs to be at second, period. Why mess with his mind, Roberts? Enough Lux as a starter. Please don't mess with Kevin Stone. No up and down. With all those points, yeah, Harley Anderson, thank you for...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Backing me up with all my takes there. I really appreciate it. So I just dropped it below for everyone to read that once again. But yeah, Mookie Betts should be the Dodgers second baseman. Enough is enough. This whole shortstop game has just been silly to me. He's not a shortstop. You can't just make a guy a shortstop with like 1 week to train. This is just ridiculous. And yeah, Galveston needs to be in the rotation. Harmony Davis, isn't Belgium and France great? Absolutely. I mean, I'd never been to either of these countries before, and I will say Paris really exceeded my expectations. Fantastic country. Highly recommend visiting. The food is out of this world. Some of the best food I've ever had in my life. So shout out to the people of France. You know how to cook. Your bread is amazing. Your pastries are just unbelievable. I'll get to more of your questions in just a second, people, but I think this is the perfect transition to trade deadline talk. So, Justin Yamas, Galveston to Oakland for Mason Miller. No way, Jose. I ain't trading Galveston for a reliever. Even if Mason Miller, who I think will eventually work his way into being a starter, I don't see the velocity being sustainable if he becomes a starting pitcher. Maybe he has like the Jordan Hicks like arc and he can make it work. No, I'm not trading Gavin Stone for any reliever. Not name any reliever in Major League Baseball. I am not trading Gavin Stone for him. There's no dominant force out there that has enough of a sample size under his belt where I feel comfortable right now moving an excellent starter in Gavin Stone for someone to pitch out of the bullpen. So Ken Rosenthal dropped an article and hinted that there are a couple names that the Dodgers could be looking at come this trade deadline. We don't have too many great names out there just yet because we don't quite have all the information in terms of what teams are selling. There are some really bad teams out there that they have guys they could trade, but I don't think they're going to help the Dodgers. But we know the White Sox are bad. We know the White Sox will trade some pieces. Tommy Pham, once again, connected to the Dodgers. No surprise here. I think everybody has connected Tommy Pham to the Dodgers, except the front office themselves, because they somehow refused to acquire or trade for this guy. Last season, Mookie Betts and JD Martinez really pushed for the Dodgers to trade for him, and instead they went with Kike Hernandez, who was fine, but they also went with Ahmed Rosario, who was just mediocre and didn't even make the Dodgers postseason roster. And they could have had Tommy Pham for, I think, basically nothing. And instead he went to their NLDS foe, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And what did Tommy Pham do against the Dodgers in the playoffs? Well, he hit against them and he helped the Arizona Diamondbacks get into the playoffs. So maybe a blunder for the Dodgers on that part. Then they had another chance to sign him in the offseason for a minor league deal. Nonetheless, I think they would have to pay him like $3 million. And they passed on him once again. And they went with Jason Hayward, who very up and down. It's not a lot of at-bats yet to really assess where he's at. But I'm not too sold on him right now. And they brought back Kike Hernandez, which I like the move. But they've got Chris Taylor on the roster, who's essentially unplayable. The only thing he can do now is bunt, apparently. But yeah. They could have had Tommy Pham, but he went to the White Sox, and he's doing pretty well at the age of 36. He's hitting .294 with 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, and a .773 OPS. This would be another rental situation because he's going to be a free agent once again. The 122 WRC plus is pretty good. It's 22 points above league average. I think the Dodgers could probably use him in the outfield, but they do have guys currently, Andy Páez, who's been kind of in a slump. He's definitely been a dud in the month of May. .546 OPS. The batting average is declining. But they also have James Outman in AAA. He's starting to hit some home runs. Maybe he can find his swing, get recalled, and be back to the James Outman that he was for the Dodgers in his rookie season last year. But then there's the other guy that I've been talking about for a while now, and I've been waiting for the Dodgers to give him some playing time. And all of a sudden, he is starting to do things. And that's Miguel Vargas. Miguel Vargas hit a home run. He hit a double. He's got like a .230 batting average, which isn't great. But his slugging is above .600. He's got a WRC plus of .152. Now, granted, it's only 14 plate appearances. But in a small sample size, Miguel Vargas is starting to look more and more like an impact player for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if I was in that front office, I would probably find a way to get more at bats for Miguel Vargas because he is starting to be productive for the Dodgers. And if you can get his confidence up, that means that's only going to help the Dodgers win. It's kind of unfortunate that it seems like left field is where he's limited right now and he's a right-handed bat. But if Andy Páez is going to slump, then that's more of an excuse to give more at-bats to Miguel Vargas. And it's not like this is some random player. I mean, this was one of their top prospects. This is someone they gave the second base job to. He broke a finger and never seemed to find his swing. If you look at his swing again, it's the older approach he once had where he's swinging with both his hands instead of the one hand that he was trying to do last year. And he can steal some bags too. So I think this is kind of a win-win for the Dodgers. Either you get Miguel Vargas to be an impact player and you get a productive bat in your offense. Or if Miguel Vargas starts to just continue to hit the ball well and you feel like you can get something of great trade value in return for Miguel Vargas, because you know down the road there just isn't a path for him to play consistently, then you can get his value back up to being somewhat high to where it once was, and you can trade him for a really quality asset, whether it's a pitcher or a shortstop or a corner outfield. The options are endless. But I think for now, I want to see more and more from Miguel Vargas. I really do think this guy has the potential, and we really haven't seen the best from him yet. At the end of the day, I think he's better than Gavin Lux, Jason Hayward, and Chris Taylor, which I tweeted the other day. Whatever the order was, Gavin Lux, I think it was Gavin Lux to Chris Taylor to Jason Hayward, or Hayward to Taylor, those three, that trio. Challenge me on it, because I think that's the worst consecutive three I've ever seen in a Dodgers lineup. They all are putrid. Hayward's a little better, but I'm not buying it. I think he's bad overall. Gavin Lux, we know, is terrible. And then Chris Taylor might be the worst hitter on planet Earth right now. If he wasn't Chris Taylor, he would have been DFA'd a long time ago, because he's just not good. Let's go back to the comment section. Dodgers 2080, they cannot afford to trade any healthy pitchers. They will get plenty of injuries. Without a doubt. I mean, we just saw the Baltimore Orioles. They lost two pitchers today to Tommy John surgery. Toronto Blue Jays look like they're going to lose Alek Manoah to potential Tommy John surgery. Harmony Davis wanted to trade Diego Cartaya, MB. Trade rushing. His value is very high and higher than Diego Cartaya. Alicia Jones, trade Vargas. Rushing and others for Mason Miller coming from MB. He also quoted, Freeman doesn't like Pham. That very well could be true. More people agreeing that Tommy Pham might not be someone that the Dodgers like. I could see that. Noisy Ninja 91, Vargas is an adventure in the outfield. His path to the ball is concerning. Yeah, I mean, so far he hasn't really been that great of a defensive outfielder. It is definitely a wild card. Good question coming from Harmony Davis. If you're the Dodgers, do you try to trade for Tarik Skubal? I mean, this guy is looking like he's in strong contention to win the Cy Young Award for the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers are in an interesting mode right now where they've completed the rebuild. They've got the prospects that they're calling up to the majors. This would kind of be like what the Cincinnati Reds did a couple years ago and be a big mistake in trade. They traded Luis Castillo for a guy that got suspended for steroids. If the Tigers traded their ace, Tarik Skubal, I don't think they could probably get assets in return that would amount to being better than Skubal. But yes, if the Dodgers can find a way to make a deal with the Tigers, maybe they owe us for that E-Quit Finasco where E-Rod said, I'm not getting traded to Los Angeles because that guy's a loser, so fuck him. But anyways, yes, I would love to see the Dodgers trade for Skubal. This guy is electric. He has phenomenal stuff. He's a strikeout machine. But for now, I don't see it happening. I think the asking price would be just insurmountable, and I don't think the Tigers are trading him anytime soon, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's see what else we've got. Tony Ordaz the third. Are the Dodgers going to open the 2025 season in Japan next year? I believe so. I don't know if that's officially been confirmed, but I think it's pretty much been leaked at this point. The Dodgers should be opening the season next year in Japan. So that's exciting stuff right there. Back to the trade stuff that I was going to talk about. So another guy that the Dodgers continue to be connected to, it's like the second year in a row, I think now. Half the chat's going to vomit. Half the listeners are going to have their ears bleed. But the Dodgers continue to be linked to Kenley Jansen. Whether you like it or not, I think Kenley Jansen to the Dodgers would make sense. He's having a good season up to this point. 3.06 ERA, 23 strikeouts. 239 FIP. Those are really good numbers for Kenley Jansen. The issue, I guess, for the Dodgers right now, unless they're going to get hit with an injury or two, because they continue to lie to us. I mean, they said Sheehan was fine. He's out for the year with Tommy John. They said Muncy would miss the minimum amount of games. He's probably out for a month. So I wouldn't be shocked if Brustar Graterol is just out for the year at this point. Like, I don't trust them. So if he's out for a long duration of the season, then I think it makes more sense to acquire a reliever. And I'm on board with Kenley Jansen coming back to the Dodgers. I don't think you have to rely on him that heavily in the postseason. If the Dodgers are up 3 runs, yeah, he can close it out in the ninth. I don't know if I trust him in a 1-run game per se, but it just gives the Dodgers so much flexibility. If Kenley Jansen can be the ninth inning guy, you got Evan Phillips and Blake Treinen as your bridge. They're pretty much nearly unhittable right now. And just the pure merit that you don't have to hold Evan Phillips just to strictly the ninth inning role just makes the Dodgers bullpen so much stronger. They also have Daniel Hudson, who's been good. Maybe they get Ryan Brazier back to what he was a year ago. Joe Kelly should be back. They've got a lot of good, they've got a lot of good righties, but you'd always use one more high leverage guy. And Kenley Jansen, I say it every time, probably going to make it to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Shockingly, whether you want to believe it or not, actually has a good postseason track record. 220 postseason ERA. And the NLCS, he has an 0.74 ERA. That's elite right there. Although this is where his demons come to exist. 4.40 World Series ERA. But we circle back to what I just said. 220 postseason ERA. That's really good. We have to just throw out maybe 3 memorable, awful appearances from Kenley Jansen. You know the moments, but I think we kind of ignore all the good moments Kenley Jansen has had for the Dodgers in the playoffs. And I do think if the Red Sox are willing to eat some of that contract, this is a really likely scenario, because the Dodgers, they like to go with players they're comfortable with, and they're not going to probably overpay for the high leverage guy. What they do is they trade for the Chris Martins of the world. They scoop up the Ryan Braziers off the waiver wire. And I don't think the asking price for Kenley Jansen would be that ridiculous. They've tried moves in the past where they got burned. You know, everyone talks about Josh Fields and the Yordan Alvarez mess. And Josh Fields was a shitty reliever. And then O'Neill Cruz, who I don't think has really proven that much so far in the majors, traded him for Tony Watson, which obviously if the Astros didn't cheat, that would have been a slam dunk W trade for the Dodgers, because Tony Watson was pretty good. So yeah, I think we're going to hear about this trade a lot. The Dodgers nearly did trade for him in the offseason. I don't remember if it was widely reported or just the sources that told me this trade was pretty much almost complete, and that it fell through, I think, due to some salary issues. I think Margot was involved and a prospect, and Jansen was going to come back to the Dodgers, but they couldn't get the money thing to figure out, so it fell through, and then they re-signed Brazier instead. So there is a lot of interest here, and I do think you have to continue to look at this. So Kenley Jansen to the Dodgers. I would give it probably a 75% chance of happening, unless the Boston Red Sox get hot and are pushing for the wild card. So like I said, whether you love it or hate it, let's see what people have to say in the chat. Why would we throw up? Because a lot of people don't like him. Harley and Aaron are throwing up. Justin prefers Helsley over Jansen. I don't think the Cardinals are going to sell, though. Graterol hasn't even begun throwing yet. He's definitely out for the year. Yeah, I mean, it's not looking too good for Brustar Graterol. Javier T, Jansen is an ex-girlfriend. Get over it. Well, I mean, they brought back Kike Hernandez, so technically he was an ex-girlfriend, and they liked him, and he was pretty good. So I wouldn't say get over it just yet. I do think this is a very strong possibility. There are other rumors out there that the Marlins, being that the mess that they are, they're going to be selling. Jesus Luzardo is on the trade market. Given that the Dodgers kind of are good right now with the starting pitching, I don't think they would pay the hefty asking price that the Miami Marlins would ask for Jesus Luzardo. So I think we can nip that one in the butt for now. I don't see it happening. Speaking of the Marlins, on Instagram, Hobby791, Dodgers get Jazz Chisholm. because he'll play better than Miggy, in my opinion. I don't think Jazz Chisholm can play shortstop, though. Unless I'm mistaken, he'd be an outfielder. And this guy's got too much name buzz, and I think the price to acquire him just wouldn't justify it. So I think the Dodgers have to look elsewhere. I don't think I would mind the move, but I just think the asking price would be too high. So I can't see it happening. I don't think Jazz Chisholm's going to get traded to the Dodgers. And then finally, on the other end of Marlins rumors out there, Tanner Scott is on the market. Teams are beginning to inquire on his availability. We've been talking about him for a long time now, that the Dodgers need to go out there, trade for Tanner Scott. This is a high leverage lefty reliever who does have the ability to close games. He is good. He throws hard. He's everything you would want from a left-handed reliever, strikes a lot of guys out. And I do think the asking price would be reasonable. The Dodgers have the prospects to trade for him. I mean, hell, I would trade Diego Cartaya for Tanner Scott straight up and not even look back. I would not regret it. So I'm all for acquiring Tanner Scott, but I have to throw it out there. And that's the beauty of the trade deadline. It just turned June 1st here where I'm at, but there's still about a month, close to 2 months until the deadline. And Anthony Banda has entered the picture for the Dodgers. And so far, he's been really good for them. He hasn't given up a run. He's striking guys out. He's getting it done in high leverage. And apparently there was a report, I don't know who said it, the Dodgers had been wanting Banda for a couple years now, and they finally were able to acquire him. He might be the answer. We'll see. But if you have Alex Vesia, who has been throwing the ball well, got to give him credit. I think he gave up one grand slam, but other than that, he's been good. And then Banda, who's been unhittable so far, that's all you need. You need two high leverage lefties. And assuming they're both healthy, they're going to have a third come playoffs, because James Paxton, assuming he's on the playoff roster, he would be a lefty unless they leave him off. Then you go Ryan Yarbrough. So you have three lefties for sure. We don't know what Clayton Kershaw's status would be, whether he's starting. I don't think I would start Clayton Kershaw in a playoff game right now, unless he comes back looking like the Kershaw pre-surgery. Then yeah, you got to start Clayton Kershaw. But it has to be like game four or a game five if they want to do a five-man rotation, back-end guy. But they have lefties, so it's not as bad as it once was, because they are making proactive moves to adding lefties to this roster. But I still do want Tanner Scott if he's available and the price is right. Finally, the big one, but let me take a quick pause right here to talk about TickPick. They've been sponsoring the Incline Dodgers podcast for like a couple years now, I believe. And did you know Ticketmaster just got hacked? Well, as far as I'm aware, TickPick isn't getting hacked. Ticketmaster, like 500 million accounts are just leaked out there, and they charge you insanely high service fees versus TickPick. No service fees, cheapest prices out there. I believe there's a Tyler Glasnow bobblehead coming up. Get your tickets over on TickPick. Download the app. And I mean, I'm excited. I would love one of those Glasnow bobbleheads if I wasn't in Europe right now. But that's currently where I am, and I'm not going to complain because it's been awesome. But yeah, so Bo Bichette could be on the market. Looks like the Blue Jays are pretty bad, and people are asking about him. I've been talking about him. This is target number one for me. I think if I had one choice right now of players that I think are available, Bo Bichette is priority number one. And one trade proposal out there, I think credit goes to Bleacher Report. They said Dodgers acquire Bo Bichette and Yimi García in exchange straight up for Jose DePaula. I'm very hesitant to make that move. I think DePaula is going to be a stud. I think he's going to be a power bat. I think this is a guy that hits 30 home runs. And so I'm not quite sure I would make this trade. Maybe you cross out DePaula and it's Dalton Rushing instead. I'm still a little uneasy about it, but I think gun to my head, I would make the trade if it's just one of those guys. Not both, can't be both, but if it's just one of them, I think I'd do it. I think Bo Bichette is an awesome bat to add to the Dodgers. It solves the shortstop crisis. I don't want Yimi García. They can leave him out. I know he's been really good ever since he left the Dodgers. And I guess to be consistent, if I said they were comfortable with Jansen, then they'd be comfortable with Yimi Garcia. But honestly, I have too many haunting memories from Yimi Garcia. So hopefully we don't have to get Yimi Garcia in this trade. But for the sake of this whole subject, I want Bo Bichette. I think he has a lot of swag. He's been heating it up for the Dodgers. We got to make this move. So I'll talk more about Bo Bichette in just a second. I just saw the Dodgers drop their starting lineup, so wanted to see what we've got here. Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, Smith, Teoscar, Jason Hayward, Lux at second, Rojas at third, Páez in center, and Buehler starting. Interesting. Justin Yamas, would I take Justin Verlander? Justin Verlander was someone I was begging for, essentially, to come to the Dodgers last season, and they didn't want to trade for him, maybe because of that vesting $35 million or whatever. I don't think I want Justin Verlander this year. He's like 40. I don't think we need him right now. I'll change my mind if we have some injuries, but for now, I'm good on Justin Verlander. The last thing we need right now is for both Ben Verlander's two favorite baseball players, Ohtani and Verlander, to be on this team. And honestly, at this point, it'd be kind of annoying for Verlander to help us win a World Series, because then the Astros fans are just going to say, well, you couldn't win a regular season 162-game World Series without Justin Verlander. So like people were saying with the whole Mad Bum thing a few years ago, unless the injury calls for it, I'm out on Verlander. I don't think we need him. I think he's like our number five at this point. Like, yeah, no thanks. What else do we have? Elisheva Jones. Vessi is a total stud reliever. Yes, he's been good. Maria G, we should get Pesa Pluma back. Shelby Miller loved being a Dodger. I think he's injured right now, but wouldn't mind it. Shelby Miller was fine. Baltimore is going to be desperate overpaying for Luzardo. Probably. The Marlins are trash this year. Yes, they are. Javier T. Kike is mediocre too, but he hits lefties. Elisheva Jones, bring up Andre Lipschitz from AAA. That guy's been insane, I will say. I think he's leading the team in OPS, and they acquired him in the offseason. This was the opportunity, honestly, to give him a shot with the injuries to Max Muncy, but unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. I mean, they could, you know, bench Lux or send him down for Lipschitz and see what we have, but it just doesn't seem to be the thing right now. Aaron Vaughn, I think Marlins would reject a Cartaya for Tanner Scott trade straight up. Tough world, tough world. Justin is going to tomorrow's game and getting that Glass now bobblehead. Javier T, let's get Javi Baez. We can fix him. Hell no. Javi Baez is so washed. He is terrible. He has an awful contract. No, thank you. Moose, 1032 incline. Let's go. Thank you, Moose. I answered your question earlier. You can come back, I guess, later on after this airs and check it out. Harmony Davis, do I have thoughts on the Negro League stats being brought into Major League Baseball? It's cool with me. Why not? Aaron Vaughn, severe resentment with Gavin Lux. Didn't Verlander say he didn't even want to come to LA? No, he was definitely open to it last trade deadline, but the Dodgers didn't want to overpay for him. So, I mean, Kate Upton's his wife. They're Hollywood people at this point. I think they have a mansion in Beverly Hills. They would have been happy to come to the Dodgers, but Dodgers had a game plan. They didn't want to be tied down to a salary. They obviously wanted to splurge on Yamamoto and Ohtani. So you gotta respect them for that, all things considered. And that's it for the questions for now. But feel free to drop more in there. If you haven't hit the like button yet, please hit that like button. Be a subscriber as well. Helps the show go a long way. Share this with your friends. But yeah, moral of the story. Super chat from Moose. $4.99 because there's no comment, but thank you, Moose. Really appreciate you. I answered your question earlier that you sent to us on X. So of course I just want to thank you. You talked about, will Stone be demoted? And I said, hell no, they ain't sending Gavin Stone anywhere. He needs to be a part of their rotation. He's probably a number three or a number four for the Dodgers at this point. So you got to continue to ride the hot hand. He's definitely deserved his spot in that Dodgers rotation. So yeah, final thoughts on the whole trade deadline stuff for now. Let's see what happens with Bo Bichette. I'm continuing to root for the Blue Jays' demise. They have other names that kind of intrigue me. I mean, if we wanted to get really crazy and the Blue Jays were willing to eat some salary, they could trade for George Springer. And this is where it kind of gets interesting, because so many Dodger fans argued for Carlos Correa to come to the Dodgers because he's Mr. Clutch. Well, if memory serves me correct, George Springer is kind of a Mr. Clutch himself in October. If they're going to eat half his salary and we don't have to pay him a whole lot, I'm not completely opposed to the idea of George Springer coming to the Dodgers. He is a corner outfield bat as well, so he kind of serves a need, and he's a right-handed bat. This is just this is all conspiracy things, though. So, I mean, we could look at what George Springer's stats are in the playoffs just to kind of have fun with it. It'd be really weird to root for him because he was a cheater and probably really benefited from that scandal. But yeah, lifetime in the postseason, he's been in 15 series. That's 309 plate appearances, 268 batting average, 346 on base, 875 OPS, 19 playoff home runs, 38 RBIs. So if the Dodgers wanted to get crazy here, they might surprise us, and they might trade for George Springer if the contract is if the contract is kind of eaten up. 3 years, $75 million is kind of left with George Springer, apparently. Well, what if I told you it's 3 years and $38 million? Then I think you'd be more intrigued, because that's like $10 million a year. And as Moose is pointing out, Springer was the only one that apologized. So at least he has some moral versus other assholes like Altuve and Correa. But I don't think it's out of the possibilities that George Springer is someone that the Dodgers actually come to look at. But the Blue Jays would have to eat some of that salary. And then I'm glad Noisy Ninja 91 brought it up. Kevin Kiermaier, another guy that I could see the Dodgers trading for, would cost a lot less than most outfielders that would be on the market. And the Dodgers almost signed Kevin Kiermaier last year before the 2023 season started. It was down to the Dodgers and Toronto, I believe, for Kevin Kiermaier. And he went with the Blue Jays because they offered him more playing time. And he's really regressed this season, but we know that he kind of has a good track record of hitting in the playoffs as well. Was on that 2020 Rays team, a really good defender, could play center field. So there is an option there if Outman they don't believe in anymore. But if you could potentially package Kiermaier and Bichette in one trade, that'd be kind of a sexy deadline, not going to lie. And you don't have to start Kiermaier every day. He could be a defensive guy. So I like the Blue Jays players. There are a few names out there that really stick out to me. Bo Bichette's number one. I think he would cost a decent amount. We might have to give up Dalton Rushing or the other guy. Blanking on how to pronounce it correctly because it's not in front of me. But Louisiana or whatever. You guys probably know who I'm talking about. Throw in Landon Knack. I think Landon Knack's going to get traded this deadline. Very high value right now. A lot of teams need a starter. Why not sell high on Knack? Get what you need. So you put Bo Bichette in this lineup. You solve the shortstop issue. So there were really no cons against adding Bichette, in my opinion. We've got Ivy saying hell no to adding any cheating Astros, and I get it. But at the same time, it's been a while now. And do we really care? Lironzo, whatever, but yes. That was not what I was... Sorry. So, Elisheva Jones. Might the Dodgers cut ties with Chris Taylor when Muncy returns from the IL? I don't think they're going to cut ties from Chris Taylor, at least before the trade deadline. Maybe they can trade him, offload him to a team, eat most of his salary. I mean, they could throw him in the Blue Jays deal for all I know. They're not going to cut him. I think when Muncy returns from the injured list, probably Vargas or Pajas will get optioned down.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mario Balderas, thank you, Mario. Vargas, Outman, Stone for Bonespringer. Again, we're not trading Gavin Stone. I mean, this would be I think the Dodgers are underpaying here for those two guys. But I'm really not keen on trading Gavin Stone. Maybe Vargas, Outman, and Knack for Bonespringer, I'd be on board with. But yeah, let's not trade Gavin Stone. Let's try to avoid that. Harmony Davis, would I throw in Chris Bassitt? I don't think his contract is very appealing right now. I could be wrong there. But no, I don't want Chris Bassitt. That guy gets lit up anytime the pressure is on. And I'm with Justin. We care about the parade in 2024. You add one Astro. They've done it before. They added Tyler White, who is shit. They've added a Mariznick, who played like one game for the Dodgers. He was shit. Maybe we should add someone from the Astros that's actually good for once, and that's Springer. So, again, I don't think it's very likely they trade for Springer, but would be crazy. And I want the parade. I'm with Justin. I'd rather have a World Series win under my belt than sleeping better at night. I don't care. Showtime LA, Francisco Lindor. Thought about this one. I don't see it happening. I think his contract is just too massive at this point. Too many years left. High salary. I don't think the Mets are trading him. I think the Mets are focusing in on next season, and Lindor's got to be a piece of that. And they might lose Pete Alonso to free agency anyways. So if anyone on the Mets were to get dealt, it's probably Pete Alonso, and the Dodgers don't have room for Pete Alonso. But yeah, Francisco Lindor would be the ideal shortstop need, but I don't think he's moving. Javier T, how's Europe? Is it worth the hype? 100%. Started in Paris. It was an awesome time. Did all the main attractions that you could think of in Paris. Food was phenomenal. The croissants, the pastries, the French food. I had French onion soup for the first time. I had duck for the first time. What else? Had a great Italian meal. The wine. Yeah, I didn't even mention the wine. The wine was incredible. Maybe Napa Valley in France, neck and neck for best wine. Don't really know who I'd give the edge to, but I will say Paris might have the best bread of any place I've ever been in the world. And then Belgium's pretty cool. I was in Bruges today. Very charming town. Very low-key city. Or country overall in Belgium. Been spending most of my time here in Brussels. Incredible beer. Maybe that's where I give them the nod. Best beer I think I've ever had. And then the chocolate may have been the best chocolate. We'll see. France had good chocolate as well. Both really good. And I'm off to Amsterdam next. And we'll probably do an incline live in Amsterdam. So we've got about 10 minutes left here, I think, on the show. If you haven't hit the like button, please hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button, and I'll answer any other questions we have. Let's see what I wrote down. So we've got Bobby Miller coming back. How about Tyler Glasnow? He leads Major League Baseball with 95 strikeouts. He's been awesome. I don't know if it's possible for him to get 300 strikeouts this season, but it's certainly a chase. Let me go to my studs and duds. I don't think I covered that yet. So for the month of May, the studs are without a doubt Shohei Ohtani, no surprise, 1,000 OPS in the month of May. Probably the MVP, in my opinion. I would take him over Mookie Betts. Teoscar Hernandez had a great month once again. 862 OPS, hitting home runs, driving guys in. Freddie Freeman, very quiet, but he gets it done. 855 OPS, had that grand slam recently. Another stud. Mookie Betts, barely a stud. Decent, 763 OPS. We'll give him credit. The duds, Andy Pajas, 546 OPS. He fell into a big slump. Hopefully he wakes up. Gavin Lux, huge dud. He's been a dud all season. 637 OPS in the month of May. And Austin Barnes was bad as well. OPS, I think, below 400. Pitching-wise, the studs is pretty much the entire bullpen, minus Elizer Hernandez. Guys like Daniel Hudson, Banda, Yarbrough, Bessia, Grove, you name it, Trinan, all through the bullpen. They really stepped up. And in terms of the rotation, Tyler Glasnow, of course, but Gavin Stone was probably the best starter. We talked about it earlier, had a 197 ERA in the month of May. So Gavin Stone, starting pitcher stud, without a doubt. And then my final thoughts are around Major League Baseball. I'm just going to get to the chat real quick. Harmony Davis, yes, I'm going to Amsterdam. Kevin is a Globetrotter for Moose. JD Martinez was on the trash show several years before the cheating. That is true. Germany has good beer. That I have heard. Harmony Davis, when is Austin Barnes not a dud? I guess the 2020 World Series in 2017. That's about it. Johan is a dud reliever. Yeah, he's been pretty bad. His big memory, I guess, for the Dodgers is Dave Roberts hugging him. So kudos to the little hug to Johan Ramirez or whatever his name is. No Will Smith on the stud list. Will Smith kind of had a slower May. He was hitting, I think, in the low 200s until recently. He kind of went off in the last series against the Mets. But I think if you look at his May stats, I think he's hitting like 220 or something around that range. So now he's not a stud for May, but for the season in its entirety, yeah, he's a stud. And he should be an all-star. Javier T, you think I can make it with just knowing English in Europe? I'm as white as it can be, and I don't know. I know a little Spanish, but I've been to Italy, I've been to Spain, I've been to Portugal, Greece, and now these countries, and I've gotten by with English. It's almost surprising. They do speak their native languages, but it's amazing that they know as much English as they do know. So, yeah. You can get by, to answer your question. I think I did skip one other question on Instagram. So Chris C10, how about we look at trading for JJ Bleday? It looks like he figured something out in Oakland. JJ Bleday just sounds like a Los Angeles Dodger. I don't know what it is about that name, but he just sounds like a guy that's going to be a Dodger. I don't know if it's because we've had guys like Ricky Leday and JD Drew and Jason Grabowski or whatever, but yeah, JJ Leday or whatever his name is, he just sounds like he's going to be a Dodger one day. So probably down to the final 5 minutes. So highly encourage you guys to get your questions in there before I get to the final thoughts. Dodgers have 3 games against the Colorado Rockies, then an off day, and then they face the Pittsburgh Pirates. So 2 kind of mid teams. We should be able to win the series against the Rockies. They're throwing Dakota Hudson against us, and he's been like bad, 1-7, 5.5 ERA. And then the Pirates are a team that just kind of plays play us tough. For whatever reason, the Pittsburgh Pirates are a thorn in the Dodgers' side, and I don't know if we're going to face Paul Skenes, but if you ever have a chance to watch this guy pitch, he's a phenom. There's a reason he went first overall. I haven't been this hyped about someone being called up since Steven Strasburg. I really do think they are the same hype and potential and ceiling. Like, this guy, Skenes, is very good, and I don't know if the Dodgers are going to get to face him, but I really hope so. It'd be an awesome test. According to Lisheva Shek has excellent beer too. I was reading about that. Some people had that country as number one. And then Jones follows up by asking if Freddie was injured, who plays first base? Tough question, because we haven't really had a Freddie injury before. So Muncy's also injured. I guess if I had to guess, probably Max Muncy would have been my first guess, but since he's out, man, I don't want to say Kike Hernandez, but I think it'd be him. I think Kike Hernandez would play the majority of the Dodgers' first base, because it could have been Michael Busch, but they traded him. I don't think Miguel Vargas has the ability to play first base. So that's actually a really good question. They don't really have depth at that position. Justin says we are scheduled to face both Jones and Skeens. Jones is also a phenom. This could be the last question. Who do you generally see the Dodgers trading for from Javier T? I think they're trading for two bats, Bo Bichette, and then they're going to acquire an outfielder. Tyler O'Neill could be a name. Oh, Jason Hayward, that's a good point. He could play some first. I think shortstop and a corner outfielder, and probably one bullpen arm. So I don't think they trade for three guys, but it's possible. I think Bichette, if it's a shortstop, Jansen, if it's a reliever, and then a corner outfielder, too many to choose from. Don't even know if Tyler O'Neill would be available, but yeah. Moose, 1032. I don't know if you saw, but the Dodgers have the most missed balls down the middle of the zone. That, along with the last two playoffs, do we have a hitting coach issue in Vanskoyok? Wow, that's a fantastic question. And this was actually something I was going to talk about, but then I decided to kind of hold off on it because the Dodgers' bats were starting to come alive. They've had the same coaching staff for as many number of years now. I think Vanskoyok joined in 2019, maybe around then. And then obviously Dave Roberts, Guerin's been there. Lehman's been the bench coach now. McCullough at first, we don't really care about him. Pitching coach Mark Pryor, he's not going anywhere. He's awesome. But if the Dodgers offense were to continue to kind of be playing like they are right now, I don't think they're playing up to their potential, to be honest. I mean, with runners in scoring position, I wrote it down. They're hitting like 256, I think. They're tied for like 14th, 15th in major leagues. So they're like at the middle point. They're not the most effective team with runners in scoring position. And that's been a common theme kind of all season. There's been some series where they've just been awful. They had that one skid that bled into the Red Series where they just weren't getting hits. And with some of these guys just kind of underperforming, I do think Vanskoyok's seat is getting pretty hot. I don't think they have the balls to fire him just yet, but that is definitely something we will talk about more and more as the subject could get more prominent. But for right now, I think the burner is just turning a little bit, but the water isn't boiling yet. I do think that is a good question, though. And if the Dodgers' bats disappear once again in October, he's got to be locked out of the building and kick his ass to the curb, because I'm honestly kind of getting fed up with their approach. They don't really manufacture runs, and this whole long ball home run thing, the business is getting it's getting a bit tiresome, I will say. So yeah, around the league real quick, because I think that's going to be the final question. The Atlanta Braves, they lost Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. for the season. Kind of curious to see what the Atlanta Braves are going to do. I imagine they'll be aggressive and make trades. But for now, the Braves are almost not a threat. Unless they make some aggressive moves, we can almost not worry about them. Those are huge losses. The Milwaukee Brewers continue to just find ways to win, even though they got rid of Corbin Burns. They're at top of the division, and they find ways to win. They draft and trade well, and the almost money ball approach just works for them until the playoffs. The Giants and Padres, I wrote down, are better than we thought they were. Right now, I think the Padres and the Giants are pushing for playoff spots, and I wouldn't be surprised if they both make it. San Francisco Giants are starting to find things, and I talked about Luis Arraez kind of being a big bat acquisition for the Padres, and they've beat the Dodgers more often than we've beat them. And, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies are the biggest threat in the National League. In the American League, I think it's really just the Yankees and the Orioles. One of those two teams I would bet money would make the World Series. And then, yeah, I predicted the Dodgers and Phillies would face off in the NLCS before the season begun, and I feel good with that prediction. I think these are the two best teams in the National League. Ranger Suarez, Bryce Harper, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Nick Castellanos, and eventually Trey Turner, JT Realmuto. It's a really strong squad. Kyle Schwarber. So, yeah, that's going to be this episode of the Inclined Dodgers podcast. I want to remind everyone right before I exit the stream, make sure to enter the Walker Buehler bobblehead. I don't have it with me. I think there will be two more episodes left and one more after this. All you have to do in the comments is mention something about Walker Buehler, be a subscriber, and you get a drawing. You can go back to all the old videos too. I get the notifications. Comment something about Walker Buehler, and for every comment, you'll get one entry. So you could have like five or six entries right now if you comment on all the eligible videos going back to like May 7th. So go ahead and do that. Win a free Walker Buehler bobblehead. Be a subscriber. Help us boost those numbers. Share it with your friends. Tag them. All that fun stuff. I want to thank you guys for watching and listening. And if you're listening on the audio feed, hit that subscribe button. Leave a five-star review. Just did a whole hour solo show to myself. So thank you guys for tuning in. Keeping it lively. And have a great weekend. And
if you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.